reading is from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. From Paul, apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God, our Saviour, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, true child of mine in the faith, wishing you grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, and who judged me faithful enough to call me into his service, even though I used to be a blasphemer, and did all I could to injure and discredit the faith. Mercy, however, was shown me, because until I had become a believer, I had been acting in ignorance, and the grace of our Lord Jesus filled me with faith, and with the love that is in Christ Jesus. I will say a few words about St. John Chrysostom, whose memory the Christians keep today, September the 13th, but to be honest, there is no saint for whom it's more fitting that I say as little as possible by way of biographical note, and report rather the kind of things he said and insisted on while he was preaching. After some years in prayer as a hermit, John was ordained deacon in Antioch and became a major preacher already then, appointed specifically to this task by the bishop Flavian. We're talking now about the mid-80s of the 4th century. Toward the end of the century, there was a vacancy in Constantinople for a bishop, a patriarch in fact. John was considered for this post, but had no interest in it whatsoever. It was by devious cunning that he was lulled into visiting that city, and while there he was consecrated Patriarch of Constantinople. What could he do? The answer turned out to be, what could he not do? As unwelcome as the task was, he took to it and worked seriously on the reform of the church, notably the clergy. This was partly due to the practice of his predecessor of turning a blind eye where he saw corruption. But John Chrysostom did not have the political tact to know when and how to speak out and when to hold your tongue, and his criticism of the imperial court in the city got him into all manner of trouble. I read in one account of John Chrysostom's life that he was innocent of the adroit diplomacy that pits one enemy against another. In his case, lots of people from all sides joined forces against him for their own reasons. John Chrysostom, golden mouth, the word Chrysostom means that, golden mouth, in the summer of 404, he was informed by a messenger from the imperial palace that he would have to leave the city immediately. He lived for a time in what was known as Lesser Armenia, but when people who had worked with him in Antioch and heard his sermons there came to visit him, the authorities punished him even further by sending him out to the margins to Pityus, a wild spot on the eastern side of the Black Sea. He died on the way, so harsh were the weather conditions and so weak was his own health. A curious and perhaps consoling sequel was that the new emperor, Theodosius II, came and met the funeral procession of John Chrysostom. In one of the contemporary accounts, we read that the emperor laid his face upon Chrysostom's coffin and entreated that his parents might be forgiven for their ill-advised persecution of the bishop. When Chrysostom preached, we hear how much the florid and self-indulgent chapels and churches of his day annoyed him, particularly if in that town there were people who were homeless or even without clothes. Useless it is, even insulting, he said, to place extravagant showings of cloth and drapery in your church in honour of Christ who has no need of them, while all the while neglecting those who long to have just basic clothing and care. As Jesus indicated in his parable about the final judgment, it is in the poor, in the homeless, in those who are imprisoned and others that the Lord is to be found. And here is our worship and honor best due and most crucially needed. John Chrysostom, who wrote a great deal of commentary and of homilies on the sacred scriptures, he speaks also of St. Paul, an earlier and equally capable preacher. Paul said he would love to leave this world and be with Christ. Now, to be separated from the company of Christ meant struggle. It was a greater affliction than any struggle or pain would be. But for the sake of Christ, Paul chose that separation. For Chrysostom, the separation was from the people of his own diocese in the light of the clarity with which he had encouraged them to turn away from self-satisfied indulgence. He had also asked that they move away from aspects of civil and court life that annoyed him no end, at the expense particularly of those who are poor. If a prophet is not acceptable in his own country, so quite often a bishop is not welcome in his own cathedral, though praised and welcomed elsewhere. For each of us, it is to our immediate neighbour, in our own cathedrals, churches, houses, family homes, there, to our own neighbour closest at hand, that we are asked to show the respect that lies in honest and upright living.